Father, teach us today from your word. Help us to understand what you're saying to us personally. And thank you that you do talk to us. And it's through your word and you point out the things we ought to do in our lives so that we can make our lives and our walk with you better. Thank you. In Jesus' name we come. Amen. And those of you who joined us now through the window back there at the back of the sanctuary, the cameras, we welcome you. We're glad you're with us here at Holiday Shores Baptist Church in Edwardsville, Illinois. And we've just been enjoying some really tremendous music, and God is blessing in our midst, and we thank him for that. This morning, again, take your Bible and open to 1 Peter chapter 2. Peter's just laying it out for us, and I appreciate what he says here in so many ways. This morning, we're going to introduce a six-letter challenge word. This is going to challenge us a lot. Here we go. S-U-B-M-I-T. Whew. Do you know that there's a whole section here in Peter, in 1 Peter, about submission, submitting to one another? Now, from what we know about this man, Peter, this could not have been an easy topic for him to, first of all, practice, and then, second of all, to write about. You know, there's just some things that are really hard. He had to learn this thing called submission, just like we all do. So in Matthew 16, Peter did not want to submit to God's will in the fact that Jesus should die. Oh, Jesus, stop talking about death. And Jesus finally had to rebuke him because he wasn't thinking like God. He was thinking like the devil. And he was thinking about himself. And then in chapter 17 of Matthew, Jesus taught Peter that we should submit to authority and pay our taxes. Because there he has, they asked Peter, does your master pay his taxes? And Jesus, Peter said, of course he does. He went back and told Jesus about it. And Jesus said, go fishing, you're going to find a coin in the mouth of the fish, and you go pay that tax for both you and me, which is kind of an interesting thing. I'd like to go fishing for my IRS taxes every year, but it would take a lot of fish, or maybe a whole wad of rolled up $100 bills, right? I guess. In Acts chapter 10, Peter had to learn to submit to the Holy Spirit to welcome the Gentiles into the church. Because up till then, they thought this is all a Jewish thing. And God said, no, 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 Gentiles are in it too. Aren't you glad? I think most of us here are Gentiles. So in that chapter 10 in Acts, God's opening the door for us to be saved and be a part of what he's doing. And then I noticed too in Galatians chapter 2 that Peter was doing some things that Paul didn't think was right. And Peter was rebuked by Paul. Now that had to be really interesting. Two very prominent church leaders, but sometimes church leaders need to be rebuked as well. And in that chapter, Peter submitted to Paul's rebuke. He realized that he was wrong. So when we come to this introduction about submission, what does Peter say in his book? Well, I would like to just walk through some of the passages here and show you. So this is going to be a rush through, and then we want to talk about submission and just make some things clear about it. So here's 1 Peter 2 and verses 13 and 14, the start of this passage. And Peter says, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. I suspect when we get to this passage in about 2 weeks that we're going to have a lot to talk about. Submit yourself to every authority. Now Peter says in verse 18, slaves, submit to your masters. Now in today's language, that would be employees, submit yourselves to your employers. Oh, that's hard. With all respect, not only those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. So that's another area we're going to look at. And then he breaks away. Well, it's the same topic, but he talks about Jesus. And he gives us the example of Jesus, how when he was abused, he handled it the right way. And he tells us what Christ did. He didn't talk back. He didn't make threats and so on. And that's in verses 21 through 25. Then he says, wives, this is 1 Peter 3:1, wives, in the same way. Now he's reflecting back to what Christ did, and Christ submitted. So wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands. And then it's interesting that he uses the same terminology when he talks to husbands in chapter 3 and verse 7. Husbands, in the same way, he's pointing back to what Jesus did. In the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives. And then we'll jump over a few chapters because it's the same pattern. And I got to point it out because it's the same pattern. Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. And we'll talk about that when we get to the end of all of this. You know, what we think of when we hear that word submit is, I have to do what somebody else says. I have to do what mom says, dad says, boss says, wife says, husband says. You know, there is nobody in this room that likes this word. Nobody. Just, we don't. There's something inside of us that just rises up and says, no, I don't want to submit. I want to do what I want to do. Fooey on you, to everybody above us. And you know, the sad fact is it happens when we're 2 or 12 or 25 or 85. It's that same thing, isn't it? Nobody gets to tell me what to do. Or no, let's put it this way. Nobody gets to tell me what I'm going to do. And that's our heart, and our heart stands up and says things like that. But let's see what God says about submission. Let's find out where he's coming from. I think we need to do that. I wanted to give you just an understanding of the concept, and I really struggled with this point this week because it might have helped us to understand what's going on here if we look at the Greek. And the Greek has active tenses and passive tenses, and I worked up a bunch on that, and I looked at it when I was done, and I said, if I go that direction, I'm going to lose them. So I decided, let's just try to make it really, really practical in every way. But I want you to understand that the word used here is hupotasso, H-U-P-O-T-A-S-S-O. And that is primarily a term used in the military or by the military of Peter's day. And it means to rank under. So you have authority in the military and you rank under that. And that's what the word is. Hupo is under and tasso means to arrange. Now, there's two ways you can, we've got to look at it this way. One is, I can be forced to do something. You are going to clean your room. You never heard that as a kid, did you? My mom was always interesting when we'd rush out of the room in the morning and forget to make the bed, which we didn't do very much. She'd put a note on it that says, brr, I got cold, please make me tomorrow. She always kind of came in the back door, and I think that communicated with us. I can be forced to do something, and if I don't do it, it's off to jail or punishment or something. And I suppose, you know, some kids have said, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to disobey everywhere I can. You're not going to force me to do anything, and I'm going to take it no matter what the punishment is. Wait a minute. Adults do that too, don't we? The other thing could be, I can willingly do something. I can just say, okay, I'm going to willingly submit to something. I am willing. Now, there's a lot of examples in Scripture that talk about that. For example, Romans 8:20, it says, "For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of one who subjected it." And God told creation, because of sin, this is what's going to happen to you. And so that's why we see chaos and destruction and death and dying and pain and suffering. It's not the way the creation was set up, but that's the way God said it was going to operate during this time of sin and rebellion. And so the creation was subjected. It was forced to do something. In the future, everything is going to be forced to submit to Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 25. "For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet." Same word that we just talked about. The last enemy to be destroyed is death, for he has put everything under his feet. And now when it says everything has been put under him, it's clear it doesn't include God himself, who put everything under Christ. So whole creation and everything, human beings, angel beings, spirit world beings, all of them are going to be under Jesus, and they'll be forced to do that in that day. It's like Philippians says, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God. But on the other hand, I can make a choice to be subject under, to obey anyway, no matter what. It's a willing ranking of myself under a specified authority. And I think Jesus is a good example of this. Luke chapter 2 and verse 51 said, and I should give you a little background. Remember when he was 12, they went down to Jerusalem, and Jesus got busy in the temple talking to the top teachers of the law, and he was really impressing them with his answers. And Moses and Mary and Joseph left, and they got partway home, and all of a sudden they go, "Ah, where's Jesus?" You never left your kid somewhere, did you? So they had to turn around and go back, and that's what they did. And when they found him in the temple, he goes, "Don't you think I need to be around my daddy's business?" He already knew at that point God was his father in a special way. And the scripture there in Luke 2:51 just says, "Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them." How hard that must have been to be the perfect child with sinful parents. But he submitted. Do you think there were times as a teenager where they were wrong and Jesus was right? Probably. But it says that he submitted to them. In Christ's trial, Pilate asserts his authority over Jesus. He says, "Don't you realize I have power either to free you or to crucify you?" That's John 19:10. Jesus says, "You'd have no power over me if it were not given to you from above." Now, was Jesus submitting there to Pilate, or was he submitting to his Father? Seems to me he was submitting to both. "Pilate, you can have your way with me. Father, I'll do what you want me to do." He submitted to both. Ephesians 5:21 says, "Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ." And so we as Christians in the church, we can willingly get along here because I just simply want to please Jesus. So we can make up our minds, I'll willingly submit in this situation. I could be on the job. I can willingly submit to that situation. And I know some of them are not fun. Did you notice all of Peter's categories here? To every authority, there should be willing submission. Employees to employers, willing submission. Wives to husbands, willing submission. Husbands, be considerate. It points back to the example of Christ and to Abraham. Young men, willing submission. And that's the way he presents it here. Submit, submit. I know we all just want to groan at this point, because this is not fun. It's not fun submitting and doing somebody else's will. It's really hard, isn't it? It really is hard. Submission is hard because, first of all, sin and the sin nature has made it hard. Oh, boy. You know, back in the garden when Adam and Eve sinned, there were a lot of things that went wrong. That's when death entered. That's when rebellion entered. And it's almost like that is, you know, that was one of the major broken parts in the human life when Adam sinned. It's like that whole submission. Because before that, he was willing to submit. But after that, he was not willing to submit. And it's like something snapped in his heart. Something broke. And it was a terrible thing. And, you know, we see that in our lives from a very early age, don't we? We have a child here, and they're stomping, and they're saying no. You ever been in the store, and you got a 2 or 3 year old sitting in the cart, and they're passing candy or something, and the kid's going, "I want some," and mom's going, "No, we don't need that." You know, on and on and on. That's rebellion. That's that spirit. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. I want what I want. You got to give it to me now. And we see it in teenagers, and some of that's just trying to break out and be their own individual, but rebellion is an issue in those years. But it's also in us adults. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. Nobody is going to tell me what to do. Submission is hard because sin has made it hard. It's a broken part of our lives. Initially, we would have been very submissive to God's will because we'd have seen what it was. We husbands would have been very submissive to our wives, and our wives would have been submissive to husbands. What a different world it would have been if teenagers would have been submissive to parents, right? Or kids, submissive to parents. Sin and the sin nature has made submission really hard because we're broken in that area. Something's wrong with us. And then, two, the idea of it, of submission, just seems awful. One person having more power, and one person, usually me, having less power, and so they get to just unload on me. That's the way we think. And that's usually the way we expect, isn't it? Person up here is going to have the power, and he's going to use that power to advance himself and to do whatever for himself. So he's going to take advantage of the person down here. Oftentimes that happens that way. And this person down here, why, we just expect him to resist and to try to make life hard for the people above us. And it's just sad. The problem is, number C there, we really don't understand the blessings and the benefits of submission. And I think Peter is going to talk to us about those things as we work our way through this. But before we go too far here, I wanted to talk about a definition for submission, or just some things that will give us a better understanding of what submission is and what it means. And what does it mean? So first of all, submission does not mean inferiority. It doesn't mean that the person who's above having the authority is better than the person who doesn't have the authority. And that's really easy to prove from the scripture. Jesus there in Matthew 26, verse 39, and he's now out in the Garden of Gethsemane, and it says that he fell on his face, and he prayed, saying, "My Father, if this is possible, let this cup pass from me. Father, if there's some other way we can deal with sin, if there's some other way we can establish forgiveness for the human race, please, let's go that route." And then he says, "Yet not as I will, but as you will." I mean, that's the answer right there. The only way to pay for sin is the death of God himself. Jesus, the Messiah, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's the only way. Sin is that bad that Jesus had to die for it. Amazing. But look at that submission. Father, not as I will. This is a terrible thing I'm facing, but I'm willing to face it if you want me to do it. And of course, it was God's will. And then earlier in his preaching in John 6, he said, I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Now, it would be absolute heresy to teach that Jesus was somehow less than God. So we have here Jesus submitting to the will of his Father. But yet, both of them were equal. Both were God, equal with each other. And so it is never true that in submission you make yourself inferior. Not true. You know, it would be a terrible wrong to insinuate that a wife is of less value than her husband. No. Don't ever do that. You'll be in big trouble. And you should be, right? Should be. You can never insinuate that employees are of some value less than the employer. It just doesn't work that way. You know, the fact of the matter is, some of our wives are more talented than we are. I'm speaking as a husband. Not long ago, I heard someone say, I really married up. And we feel that way. We married up. Yeah, I see that hand back there. The guy running the video. Many wives are more talented than their husbands. Some employees are way ahead of their bosses. And that's true. And maybe your work situation's that way. But the bottom line is, submission does not mean inferiority. When I start saying I'm submitting, it doesn't make me less. It really doesn't. Here's another one we should point out. And it's this one. Submission is not a club for others to use. Or because the scripture says you ought to submit, that's not a club I can pick up and use against somebody else. Let me put it this way. God's saying in the passage, wives, submit to your husbands, is not the same as saying, husbands, you must demand that your wife obeys you. And I've talked to guys before that were just driving their wives crazy because they had that kind of an attitude and it was breaking up the marriage and they're pulling out their Bibles and they're saying, see, it says it right there. She is submit to me. And I said, that's what it says. But why are you reading her mail? Because that's not written to you. That's not God saying, here, husbands, I want to give you a club that you can beat her over the head with. No, that's written to the wife. And that's personal, private communication between God and the wife. You know, our wives are not children. And the scripture never puts them on the level with children. But I've known husbands through the years that have basically said to their wives, you obey me. No, she's a partner. There's equality there. And it's a lot better when they're partners because then you got two people thinking and working together. It's so much better. Submission does not give another person the right to demand submission out of you. I better point out an exception there. I'll be in big trouble. The police and civil authority, you better obey them. You better. You know, it's not really the person, is it? It's the institution they represent. When that police car comes up behind you with the lights flashing and he comes up to your window, you're not submitting to him because it's him, but you're submitting because of the institution and the power and the law and the authority that's represented behind him. So submission does not mean inferiority. It doesn't become a club for me to pick up and use it against somebody else. And thirdly, it's primarily a statement of function and roles. Remember at the beginning we said this was a military term. And it had to do with the organization of the army under the leadership. And so there's function and there's roles involved in that. A football team on the field has 12 players. And every individual player has a responsibility. There's something he's supposed to do because he has his own talent and they match the position to the talent that the person has. He has a different responsibility every time the ball is hiked. The quarterback has certain things he has to do. The running backs and the offensive and the defensive linemen, there's a job, a responsibility that they're to do. And if they were all quarterbacks, it would not work. But when everybody does what they're supposed to do, you have a chance of winning the ball game. But each must submit to a necessary role, a necessary task, and I'm going to do that. I know this is going back in history for some of you, but probably not this crowd. You remember Roger Staubach, Dallas Cowboys quarterback. You sports fans remember that. He led them to the world championship in 1971, but he admitted later that he really had problems playing on that team. And the problem was this, that Tom Landry, the coach, and it was an amazing coach that really knew his way around the ball game, around the football game. And he would send in a play every play. And he expected his quarterbacks, Staubach, to do that play. And it was really hard on Roger to let that happen. He wanted to call his own game. He wanted to call his own plays. But Landry, the coach, told him when he was going to pass and when he was going to run. And only if there was an emergency situation had he ever better change the play. And if he changed the play, he better be right. And that just, the quarterback in that case realized that Landry, the coach, was known for his brilliance and the plays that he picked. But it really galled him to think that he had to submit every play to the coach because he wanted to do it his own way. He said later, I faced up finally to the issue of obedience. And once I learned to obey, there became harmony, fulfillment, and victory. And that's really true. For every team, you have a situation like that. You have people that are doing this and doing this, and we're all kind of submitting to the whole, the team. We do that in the church, God gives each one of us different spiritual gifts. And we're like the body. We all come together and do our thing because God created us to do that. Then it becomes just amazing what a church can do and what it can accomplish. And it works best that way. I think that importance is being pointed out in two phrases. One particular I grew up with, and I think they came from my mom. Too many cooks in the kitchen spoil the broth. Well, that wasn't quite hers, but I remember her saying in more than one case, there are too many chiefs and not enough Indians here. Now, I'm guessing that's because there are four kids and all of us wanted to be the top chief. And, of course, I was the oldest, so I should be, right? Joanne's probably watching this right now, giggling, my youngest sister. So Mom used to say that, you got too many chiefs and not enough Indians. I don't know if we figured out what that meant back then or not, but we did, probably. But submission means to arrange oneself under the command of the divine viewpoint. Do it God's way. And Peter here is offering us a way to move beyond struggles and power. Because that's where we all end up. If it's this against this and bang, 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 and I don't want to do what you say and vice versa, it's a problem. And he says, you know, if you're a place of less authority and a power, don't resent those that are over you. That's what he's going to tell us. Rather, because you love Jesus and want to be like him, honor him, respect, and try to make those above you successful. And that's important. Then he says to those in power, don't be puffed up and lord it over those that are under you. Use your power and authority to benefit those folks. And I think a lot of the leadership in our country has forgotten that they exist to serve us. And it doesn't happen anymore. And part of it is because we've moved away from the biblical worldview. The Christians who hold office, they're the ones that ought to be watching out for the people under them. But I'm not sure the rest of them are. You know, biblical submission's a choice. Submitting the way God says to submit is just a choice. It's an act of my will. I can go out every day puffed up saying, nobody's going to walk over me today. Or I can say, today I'm going to be submissive. I'm going to do my best to work and get along with all the people in my world. You know, Jesus made the choice to lay down his life for our sake. Nobody forced him to do that. He's our example. That's how we ought to live. Father didn't bully Jesus into doing that. In fact, one of the Old Testament prophecies, Jesus said, you know, just give me a body. I'll go down there and die for him. But I got to have a body. Give me a body and I'll go down and die for him. Pretty profound. What would it be like to live in a world with nobody submitting to nobody? Nobody submitting to anybody. What would it be like? Our marriages would be hell on earth. Our houses would be hell on earth. There'd be so much chaos. Just everybody wants to be in charge. Too many chiefs and not enough Indians. Well, let me just briefly, we're going to look at these more. What sort of goals does God have when he says, I want you to submit? You know, to the authorities, to employers, husbands and wives and children and so on. What does he want? I mean, what are the goals of that? Well, I think the first goal is if we do that, we become obedient. We become really God's sons and daughters. For the Lord's sake, we ought to submit. Obedience to God. We're doing it God's way. And that should be the desire of our hearts and lives anyway. I want to do it Jesus' way. I want to do it God's way. I want to think about life and practice life the way he did. And so I submit. So we want to be obedient to God. Secondly, we want to silence the Christ critics. And that's in verse 15. We'll talk more about that later. In the weeks to come. But it says, for it's God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. And the fact of the matter is, unbelievers always have really high expectations of Christians. They sometimes have better ideas of what a Christian life should be than we do. It's sad to say. But that's what happens sometimes. When Christians live up to the expectations of unbelievers, then unbelievers have nothing to criticize us for. And that's a good thing. And so that's what Peter's pointing out here. It'll silence the Christ critics, those that believe the gospel and Jesus bring nothing to the world. Three more, they're really interesting. We'll look at this more too. We get into chapter 3. But he tells wives to submit, and it's because that unbelieving husbands may be saved through the testimony of their wives. One of the things that was going on at that time was there were a lot of wives being saved. I mean, it was two unsaved people in a marriage. They were Roman or whatever nationality. And the wife would hear the gospel and get saved. And now we've got to figure out how are we going to win that husband to Jesus Christ. And so Peter is saying, look, if you submit and you work hard in your relationship to please him and honor him and respect him, that just might make him come to Jesus. So he says, I want you to submit in order to do that, that your unbelieving husband will be saved through that, and I'd say nonverbal actions of the wife who is saved. So that becomes really, really important. You got somebody in your world who's over you that needs to be saved? Submit. Submit. All right, let's two more here. This may surprise you a little bit. We'll talk more about it when we get into chapter 3. But the goal of submission is to make women truly beautiful. I didn't say that. That's God's point of view. So you have to take it that way. He's talking, of course, about inner beauty. And, you know, we've all known a lot of lady people, women people, who are really pretty on the outside, but you wouldn't want to live with them. You wouldn't want to marry them. You probably wouldn't even want to be friends with them, because the inside, the heart, what comes out of the mouth is just awful. And so Peter is saying here, look, it's not the hairstyle, the lipstick, or the clothing that makes a woman beautiful. Rather, it's a quiet, godly spirit. And that's why he says your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as braided hair and the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. And he's not saying there you shouldn't wear those things, but he is saying that's not where your beauty should come from. It should be that spirit that just energizes the way you come across to other people. He says instead, verse 4, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. Now, when we get to that, you're not going to miss our study on that. And let me give you one more. This makes me shudder. He's talking to men here. He's talking to husbands here in chapter 3 and verse 7. Maybe I should point this out, guys. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. What is he telling men to do? And what is he telling husbands to do? We'll look at this more. But we should be considerate as we live with them. What does that mean? Come back in a few weeks. We should treat them with respect as the weaker partner. What does that mean? We'll talk about it in a few weeks. They're heirs with us of the gracious gift of life. They're Christians alongside us. And we should be considerate of them. What does that mean? Come back in a few weeks. When we get there, we'll talk about it. And he says, if you do that, then God's going to be willing to listen to your prayers. Whoa. You mean how I treat my wife determines how much God listens to me praying? That's what it seems to say. We better talk about that. So one of the goals is of submission, a man to his wife, because it's supposed to be in the same way that Christ, and we'll look more at that. Because you don't usually hear sermons about, you know, husbands submit to your wives. But the theme is there in Peter. So we won't talk about it. And the reason we should be submissive and show our consideration so that our prayers won't be hindered. Oh boy. Submission. Submission. Not easy, but that's the way the Christian community should work. When I grew up in southern Ohio, and I know there are other places, but I remember some down there, that there were some of the roads had one-lane bridges. Most of them were back to hollers. Do you have hollers around here? Not so much anymore. I grew up with a lot of hollers, and usually whatever major family lived up there, that was the holler. That was the name of the holler. We never did get one named after the Lemons. That was a shame. Lemon Holler would have been fun. But those roads, if you were driving a car, on most of the roads, you could get two cars past each other. You might have to have one pull off quite a bit and almost go in the ditch, but you could get by. But then somewhere down there, you'd come to a bridge over a creek, a crick, whatever you call them, and they would go down to one lane. And there's absolutely no way you're going to squeeze two Hondas or two Toyotas or any mix or combination onto that road, onto that bridge. And so what they would do is they would put up yield signs on both ends of that bridge. You got the idea here? So when you're coming up to the bridge and it has a yield sign, you better look across. Is there somebody already coming across that bridge? Well, you better let him come. You better yield to him. On the other hand, if there's somebody that just pulls up to the other side at the same time you get there, what are you going to do? Drive out in the middle and honk horns at each other? No, one of you is going to have to submit and back away and wait until the other one goes by. And so drivers from both sides then are supposed to give the right of way. And you know, that keeps you from having head-on collisions or getting stuck in the middle of a bridge. And when the Bible commands Christians to be subject to one another, it's just, that's what we ought to do as we live our lives. Sometimes we have to yield and let the other person go through. Now, not just physically, but in all sorts of ways. Yield, surrender, submit. And that's important. It's reasonable. It's gracious. And it avoids so many interpersonal head-on collisions. Well, it's going to take several weeks to develop the passage, but I wanted you to see where Peter's going and get a feel for this. I think what we need to do this week is go out and practice submission. You know, watch for those places where there's a yield sign on the road. And practice yielding. Let's stand and pray together, shall we? Father, this is a very difficult, challenging command that you lay in front of us. It touches us right at the core of our being, right at the point where we're the most broken, where we least want to respond. And so, Father, we're going to ask that you help us, that you'll show us our own hearts in these times when we really ought to be practicing yielding or submitting. And help us to do that. It'll make our lives better, and there'll be fewer problems if we just yield the right of way, if we just submit. Father, first of all, help us to submit to the Lord Jesus Christ, who can save our souls. And then help us to submit to the people in our world that we're called upon to submit to. And thank you for helping us do that. Enable us by your Holy Spirit to do that. Help us this week to practice submission, to practice yielding. We're grateful. And we come now in Jesus' name and for his sake, thanking you for salvation and a new way of life. Amen.